Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Ezekiel 37, we have one of the prophets of God in the Old Testament here in this book, and speaking specifically of a vision he had in chapter 37. And what there's a couple of things we need to know here. Sin has ravaged God's people. They have let sin come into their minds and their hearts and their actions, and judgment has fallen upon Israel, God's people. Ezekiel's job is to speak to God's people, and God leads him to do some really, really strange stuff in this book, magnificent things, and he sees some really, really strange, magnificent things in this book as a prophet of God, and that's one of the things we're going to see this morning in 37, but what has happened in the lives of God's people is sin has come into their lives, God has judged them. They have lost their home. They have lost the lives of many of God's people. Others, specifically the leaders of God's people, have been exiled. So they're no longer in Jerusalem or in the land. Jerusalem itself has been destroyed. The temple has been destroyed. And they have lost everything that made them who they were because of their sin. And now they're sitting, and some of them have gone off to foreign lands, and as they're in foreign lands, they're not worshiping the one true God. They have bought into the little g gods of the lands that they're in. And during this time, God is speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. And that's where we find ourselves in chapter 37, verse 1. Are you ready? Follow along in your copy of God's Word. The hand of the Lord was upon me. This is Ezekiel speaking. And he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and I was commanded, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves, raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Amen. This is a wonderful passage, many ways mesmerizing as it, if we pay attention, it piques our imagination as we see these things in our mind's eye as Ezekiel saw them. And this morning, we're going to find three pieces of truth. There's a lot that can be taught from this passage. We're not going to teach all of it or touch on all of it, but we're going to touch on things that I think are important for us where we are today. The first is this. We're looking for refreshment, right? The first is this. To be refreshed, we need to see the plight of the lost, the situation, the circumstances of the lost, the eternity of the lost. Look at verses 12 through 14 with me. This is part of what Ezekiel was seeing. He was seeing the plight of God's people, Israel, as they were standing in judgment. Verse 12 says this, "Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people." So God is speaking to his people through Ezekiel, and he's giving this grand vision of God raising up his people from what? Death. That's the vision that God has given Ezekiel, and not just Ezekiel, but his people through Ezekiel. They're dead. Look at verse 11. "Then he said to me, son of man," he's interpreting this vision for Ezekiel. "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. These bones are my people that I have judged. Behold," middle of verse 11, "they say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off." And then God goes on to say to Ezekiel, "I will raise these people up out of their graves. I will put my spirit in them." The plight of the people that Ezekiel was seeing, the plight of God's people, were that they were dead. They were cut off. They weren't just dead. They were, if we could say this, very dead. Bones of a dead person aren't dry immediately. But after time, after they've been dead for a while, they become dry. Ezekiel says when he sees these bones, verse 2, "There were many, very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were" what? Not just dry, very dry. Hopeless. The people in verse 12 said, "Our hope is lost. Our bones are dry and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off." Ezekiel needed to see how unbelievably hopeless the people were. When the people heard about this vision from Ezekiel, they needed to see how unbelievably hopeless they were. They needed to see their own plight in their sin under God's judgment. You look at these first two verses, verses 1 and 2. If you can picture it through your mind's eye, what Ezekiel is saying. "The hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. And that valley was full of bones." Some of you are, we got any NCIS fans or CSI fans in here? And you're like, maybe, I don't know. This picture that Ezekiel gives us makes CSI and NCIS and all that stuff look like a Disney movie. This is a valley. Mile, 2 miles, we don't know how big it is. However big, even if it's just as big as a football field, that is filled with bones. They have not been buried. Bones on bones on bones. He died. Perhaps in battle. It's just bones on bones on bones. And it says that Ezekiel, the Lord led him among them. Verse 3, and these bones, and he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? You back up. Verse 2, and he led me around among them. So Ezekiel didn't just see these bones, but he walked among them. It was as if the Lord wanted him to see very clearly the situation of these people that were once alive. There is no hope. We could ask this, why did God choose, in his infinite wisdom, choose not just to lead Ezekiel to have a bird's eye view of this valley? Why did he choose to give the Ezekiel the distinctive impression that these people had not just died, they weren't just dead bodies, but they were very dry bones? Why were there so many of them? Why did he need Ezekiel not just to see them, but walk among them? And I would say, because Ezekiel needed to grasp just how hopeless the people were, apart from a work of the Lord, as did the people. We may say this morning, what does this have to do with us? And I would say this, we need, as a church, we need to be reminded of the spiritual plight of the people that we are surrounded by every day that are not in Jesus. Our family members that don't know Him, our neighbors that do not know Him, our coworkers that do not know Him, our fellow shoppers in Walmart that do not know Him. The spiritual plight of them. The lost. Right after Adam and Eve, in the very beginning of God's Word, we see Adam and Eve created perfectly by God, a perfect environment, perfect circumstances, perfect relationship with God, eternal life in God, and then they sin. And God says this, Genesis 3, verse 19, the second part of it, says, "For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So one of the immediate consequences, and physical wasn't immediate, but spiritually immediate consequences, were they went from life to death. And eventually they would meet physical death. Later on in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul speaks to this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. He says, speaking to the church about the time before they placed faith in Jesus, he says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." So their spiritual state before coming to faith in Jesus was death, dry bones. Paul again in Romans 6 verse 23, the first part of it, he says, "For the wages of sin is what? Death." Ezekiel needed to see this. As a church, we need to be reminded of this. As we seek to be reminded and refreshed about our purpose as Christians, we need to be reminded just how hopeless the people are apart from Jesus. The person that does not have faith in Jesus, they're hopelessly, spiritually dead, dry bones, damned to eternity in hell. You and me, before we came to faith in Jesus, same state, hopelessly dead, dry bones. Could do nothing for ourselves to save ourselves. Our children, our family, our neighbors, people in Walmart, apart from Jesus, dry bones. Here's the reality that we need to be reminded of. Every day that you and I turn and put our feet on the ground in our homes, we are putting our feet on the ground in Grady County in a valley filled with dry bones. When we drive down 84 and we are passed by cars in both directions, many of them are filled with dry bones. When we walk the aisles in Walmart, dry bones. Ezekiel needed to see this. As a church, we need to see this. When Ezekiel thought of the people he spoke to, when he would see them the next time after this vision, what he would see in his mind's eye was dry bones. In church, if we are going to grasp and begin to even start to accomplish the mission God has for us in Grady County, we've got to see the reality that is before us. Grady County is filled with dry bones. the same way we once were. That is not a prideful statement. That is just a statement of fact. Apart from Jesus, we would be dry bones too, and they need Him. To be refreshed, we need to see the plight of the lost. And here is the truth about our hearts, I think, is this. Sometimes when we know our money's not right, our reaction to that situation is to not look, right? Don't look at the bank account. I just don't want to deal with it right now, right? Or if we're waiting to hear from news from the doctor, or we've got news from the doctor, and our reaction is, I'm just not going to do anything. I'm just going to live my life, and I'm not going to do anything about it because I don't want to deal with it. But here's the reality of both those situations. Our lack of acknowledgement of a dwindling bank account isn't going to stop the bank account from dwindling. Our lack of acknowledgement of declining health is not going to stop our health from declining. And our lack of acknowledgement that many of the people we interact with on a daily basis are dry bones isn't going to stop them from spending an eternity apart from God in hell. We have to see it. We have to be reminded of it. Do you see it? This doesn't seem very refreshing thus far, does it? Just hang with me. So to be refreshed, we need to see the plight of the lost, but to be refreshed, we also need to see the power of the gospel. Look at this vision, where it starts and where it ends. Verse 3. And specifically how the Lord brings that about. Verse 3. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now the obvious answer is no. They're dry bones. And notice, Ezekiel doesn't set his eyes on the possible. He sets his eyes on the Lord. And so his answer is, Oh Lord God, You know. And then read verses, starting in verse 4. Then God said to me, Ezekiel, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7. So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. Let's stop right there for a second. Look at the way that God chose, out of all the things He could have done, God chose to bring these bones back to life with words. A prophesy. And all prophesy means in this passage is being a mouthpiece for the Lord. So the Lord gave Ezekiel words to speak. Ezekiel spoke them, and that meant Ezekiel was prophesying. So the Lord said, prophesy these things. And Ezekiel prophesied, and as he did, the bones in that valley that filled that valley on the surface of the valley began to rattle. Responding to the words of the Lord, that the Lord used a sinful man to speak. The power was not in Ezekiel, the power was in God and from His word. All the ways God could have done this. He could have spoke His own thundering voice over the valley and brought them upright, put flesh together and bones together and put flesh on them and put breath in them. He chose not to. He could have had so many other things happen, so many endless possibilities God could have done, but He chose to speak words through a man to bring about life to dead men. Oh, not a single occurrence in God's word. Over and over and over again, we see God speak and things happen. In the beginning, right? Genesis 1. God brought our world, our universe, and everything we know and everything we don't into existence with His words. You go on to the New Testament and you see Jesus doing similar things. Jesus, Mark chapter 2, verse 5, Jesus said to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. So with words, he forgives this man's sins. Mark chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus said to a man with a withered hand, stretch out your hand. He didn't rub it. He didn't shake it. He didn't say, do some exercises and some PT. He just said, stretch out your hand. Mark 4, verse 39, Jesus said to the sea in a violent storm, peace, be still. And the storm stopped. And the waves became small and lapped against the boat they were in. Mark 5, 41, Jesus said to a dead little girl, I say to you, arise. And she got up out of her bed. Hungry. John chapter 11, verse 43, Jesus said to a dead man who had been dead for 4 days, his friend Lazarus, he says, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus walks out of the tomb with his grave clothes on. As he was dying on the cross with his last breath, in John chapter 19, verse 30, in the second part of it, Jesus said, speaking of our debt, that we owe, which is death because of our sin. He says, it is finished. And it was. That's why Hebrews chapter 4, and reflecting on all these things, the Holy Spirit led the writer of Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 12, to say this about the Word of God. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word is powerful. And this is a consistent message throughout his word, the scriptures. Verses 7 through 10. A rattling and the bones came together, bone to its bone. Verse 8, and I looked and behold, there were sinews on them. I mean, he's seeing this happen. And flesh had come upon them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I put on their feet, and exceedingly, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Again, God didn't speak these words, Ezekiel did. Using a sinful man to speak the words that brought dead men to life. This is where it begins to hit us. You know that as a church, we have a very specific message for the world. We call it the gospel, the good news of Jesus. The fact that Jesus, the Son of God, was sent to earth. He put on flesh, born as a babe, grew up into a man, living perfectly the whole time, unlike us. We need that perfect life that he lived. Then, at the age of 32, 33, he was arrested unlawfully, put on trial after trial, and then hung on a cross, an excruciating criminal's death in our place. Eventually dying, breathing his last breath, completely dead, like dry bones, dead. And 3 days later, Father raising up the Son to new life so that we could trust the Son and receive his perfect life and he take our sin upon himself on the cross so that our debt of death could be paid by him and we could see his resurrected life. That is the gospel, that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus and his life, death, and resurrection. We have that news, that message, that word from the Lord. Romans 1, I want you to, if you got your finger in Romans, it says, Paul, in 16. After this, we're going to Romans 10. It says, Paul, in introducing, the whole book of Romans outlines the gospel and dives deep into what the gospel is and is not. Verse 16, in introducing the gospel, Paul says this. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel by nature is news. The gospel by nature is a message. The gospel by nature is spoken or written for people to receive. Just as the dry bones received the word of the Lord from Ezekiel. And this is why later on in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17, Paul says this. He says, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. Then he asks this question, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. If what we said earlier is true, that when we put our feet down every morning in Grady County, we were putting our feet down in the midst of a valley of dry bones, then the message that is going to bring those bones to life is the gospel. And you and I, like Ezekiel, are the ones privileged and given the responsibility of speaking that to dry bones. Hearts of stone replaced with flesh. Where chains once hung, chains sit on the ground. Where the prince of the power of the air once reigned, Jesus now reigns. Eternities are changed when the gospel is spoken to dead men and women. And God uses sinful men, me and you, to speak the words, the gospel, to bring life to dead men. Church, you see the power of the gospel. You see it. This vision in Ezekiel 37 is magnificent and in some ways incomprehensible. But we live in it. And the power that we see in this vision is beyond compare. But we have it. And that brings us to our last point this morning. To be refreshed, we need to see the plight of the lost. To be refreshed, we need to see the power of the gospel, bringing dead men to life. You were once dead in your transgressions. I was once dead in my transgression. We heard the gospel. We responded to Jesus. We are now living in him. And finally, to be refreshed, we need to see the purpose of our resurrection. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10, it's curious to me that when Ezekiel saw these bones with flesh and blood running through their bodies and breath in their lungs, what he said about them. He said, and behold, verse 10, they were an exceedingly great army. Armies are raised to work and to fight. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Again, speaking of our new life in Christ, it says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Here, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is speaking of our spiritual resurrection. The day you and I placed faith in Jesus, we were moved from death to life. We were resurrected. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, follow along as I read. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works. Similar to how when those bones were raised to new life, it was not anything they had done or earned. They were just laying there dead. God raised them up. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So Jesus didn't just raise us up for us to live out our days and go to heaven. He raised us up for a purpose, and that is good works in him. And the Bible, God's word, defines what those good works are. Why did God resurrect us? For good works. Now, flip over to the end of Ephesians chapter 6. This is a picture of God's people, specifically the church, once they are raised up, living in him, what we should look like. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, with encouragement to the church as he ends his letter, Paul says this, "Finally, now that you are living and resurrected in Christ, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole what? Armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Church, we are an army. We were once dead, dry bones. God has raised us up, and he didn't just raise us up to stand here and to go to church and just read the Bible and know it. He raises up for us to do all those things so we would be equipped to go out and fight for more dry bones. Do you see it? There is a purpose for which God has raised you up and called you to himself. And yes, it is to know him more. Yes, it is to find joy in him. But yes, it is also to fight for those who don't know him yet. If we have lost our spiritual fervor, I would say that part of the reason, and men, listen to me, men, please tune in. As men, we need a purpose. We need something to fight for. We need something to do and work towards. As men who are in Christ, this is it. We talk a lot about what we're saved from, not enough about what we're saved for. We are saved to speak to dry bones and watch the Spirit of the Lord work. To be part of gathering an army for the glory of the Lord. What better purpose than that? To see our children raised up in the armor of the Lord. I'm not the first person who said this, but we often think of the church as a place to come and be encouraged, the place of our worship, the people we worship with. In many ways, biblically speaking, the church is supposed to be a field hospital where men and women who are fighting for dry bones come in for equipping and encouragement and healing. And we are each other's fellow field medics to encourage one another in the fight for dry bones. And if we grab a hold of that vision, our Mondays through Saturdays would look a lot different, wouldn't it? It'd be a lot more exciting. men and women, we would wake up with purpose and mission on a whole new level, an eternal level. Men, we would be hungry to see progress made, see the gospel advanced. We would be scheming ways to get the gospel into the minds and hearts of people who have yet to accept it. Similar to a commander scheming ways to get on the other side of enemy lines. We would be doing that with pleasure, with endurance, with camaraderie, and with joy. Perhaps this morning, Christian, you need to ask the Lord for fervor. Ask the Lord that your Monday through Saturday this week, you would be given the vision that Ezekiel was given, that you would drive up and down 84, walk in Walmart, go to your workplace, sit among the people that you're around, and you would see the dry bones that are present. And the Lord would fill you with urgency and passion and joy for His mission that He's put you on as one who was brought to life in Him. Perhaps you're here this morning and your bones are rattling because you know there's something different about the message of Jesus. And you know that there's possibly something greater about the purposes of Jesus in your life than what you've been living. I want to say to you, you can have new life in Christ this morning. You surrender to Him. Seek Him for the forgiveness of your sins, and He will give you new life. And we would love to walk you through that. You can come forward and tell me and grab Pastor Robbie or myself after the service is over or another church member. We would love to walk you through Scripture to show you exactly what it means to trust Jesus. We're going to sing this morning, and as we sing, if you need to pray, I want to encourage you to pray. But remember, our response is not limited to this time or place. So may our response continue into our week this week. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for the new life that we have in Christ, the fact that we were once dry bones and you have brought us from death to life, the fact that you put us in a time and a place where we had the opportunity to hear the gospel and respond to it. God, may you set us on fire with an urgency to advance your gospel to the people who have yet to understand it and to the people who have yet to hear it. In our community in Grady County and beyond. Lord, would you give us eyes to see the plight of the lost and hearts that grab a hold of the purpose you've given us as your church. From the youngest of us to the oldest of us, may we live on your mission with joy and urgency. In your holy and glorious name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
Just now. Lord.